French. Some guys like it quiet. Some guys like it loud. This is.
You know, Gatorade needs to look like he needs some exercise. I don't know.
Of course, the conditions now that he has to play the shot test anyone.
You knew he would. You knew he would.
Oh my goodness.
They've come a long way together, Jim, those two. It's a great story.
All right, welcome into Dialed In, a podcast by the High Cotton Club. Episode 73, coming to you from High Cotton headquarters here in, what'd you call it, Springhouse or Whitefield? Kind of in between Springfield and White House.
Yeah, we got Cross Plains not too far away too, but it's either way, whatever you want to call it, it is cold. Winter is here. I don't want to be outside if I don't have to be, but it's that time of year where I'm called to be outside more and more, so it's great to be inside a warm house with you, joined by all of our wonderful listeners out in High Cotton Country. We appreciate you tuning into another episode, episode 73, as Stu said. And we first kind of started out by congratulating Mr. Josh Appleton, fantasy football champion. You know, hats off, hands up, everything necessary. A worthy champion defeated Josh Hollingsworth in the championship of our fantasy football league. But not to be overshadowed is the last place finisher, Mr. Jackson Mitchell. That's really, we're not playing for anything at the top. We're playing at the bottom. And Jackson, with the last place finish due to his claim of, I didn't know that I had a team until week 7.
Oh, come on. What are we doing here?
Much like he didn't know that we had a tea time for the extinction until he showed up until the afternoon, right? But
I started to think Jackson's a little unreliable.
But he will be required to recite the first however many digits of pi that we decide at the Extinctions Calcutta. So a very fun way to punish him. But that Calcutta, of course, provided through Unknown Golf, as all of the High Cotton Club is and has been for more than a year now. Because whether you're a guy at your club tracking the weekly game, the club itself, or just a competitor typing in 6-digit codes for access to scoring, for a group like us, Unknown Golf is the software that you need to elevate the standard of your community while simultaneously easing the burden for both the administrator and player. Now, we've all seen live scoring apps before, but you can consider Unknown Golf to be a full toolbox with a quick and easy live scoring, with recent additions of GPS and green heat maps, with long-standing ability to bet or press any other player using the app via the challenge feature, and so much more, both readily available and in the pipeline. Unknown offers the ability and flexibility to set up a variety of events, communicate with the field, and so much more in a fraction of the time as what I have spent in the past. Unknown Golf's ability to serve the golf world is proven across golf courses and communities throughout the country, and there's no shortage of reasons why. All the High Cotton Club uses Unknown Golf, and you should too. So visit Unknown Golf to create your player profile, play the game, and leave the rest to the app. Something that we look forward to as the spring, you know, approaches. While it's winter, as I mentioned, spring golf is kind of here as registration through Unknown Golf continues to roll on through the spring. So over the course of today's episode, we'll talk a little bit about the spring ahead, but we want to make sure that everybody's aware that registration for the Barn Burner is live right now through January 26th. So make sure you sign up for what was the High Cotton Club's largest event to date until the extinction practice round last year. So although it's in Kentucky, we realize it doesn't really serve our Louisville guys as well as, you know, we would kind of like to, getting closer towards Park Mammoth and stuff like that. But in the past, we've had some of those guys travel down, obviously a really strong contingent from around here in Middle Tennessee, and a bunch of the Alabama guys traveling up in the past. So hope to see a bunch of those same faces and build on the momentum of the past.
Yeah, I've already signed up for the Barn Burner. It's always one of my favorite events. I kind of grew up playing Kenny Perry, not as much as you, but, you know, right down the road. But going back to Unknown and Jackson, you know what the Unknown needs to put into R&D for like their next development on the app? is where is this, you know, when you get emails and texts with, you know, dates and times, you can just click on it and it'll shortcut to your calendar. Do that with tee times, like a shortcut straight to your alarm clock so that Jackson won't miss his tee time. It'll automatically set his alarm clock for the tee time he has.
I wonder if that's as simple as somehow the way that I put it into text in the email, because you know how sometimes it'll like hyperlink. It may just be as simple as that for me and him having to click that.
That way all you got to do is click it and it'll go straight to your calendar.
Create event, add the calendar. Absolutely. But also, you know, sent out a reminder earlier today. Obviously, we're recording on Wednesday. Everybody will be listening to this hopefully over the weekend, but sent out a reminder through Unknown Golf, the registration for the Mother Clucker is open. Not to mention that registration for the Classic has been open. Would love to get that filled as quickly as possible. But registration for the Mother Clucker is winding down, and how Unknown Golf is able to just, you know, I'm sending an email to everybody, but it also auto pushes that through the app. So you get that kind of, you have been invited to an event. It's a tough way to miss what's going on.
Yeah, I was just looking to see. I'm pretty sure I registered for the Classic when it opened.
We like that. Obviously, you have some unfinished business.
I can't remember anything these days. It's getting terrible.
You're not alone, brother. Age is getting to us all quicker than most, or quicker than some. But while you're working on registration for the Classic and overcoming some a little bit of scar tissue for that, like I said, we really would like to fill up the Mother Clucker as soon as possible, because Mossy Oak reached out. They want to get some names, numbers as quickly as possible. So we'd like to be accommodating with that, as they've been so accommodating to us in the past. But until then, the Overlook is right around the corner. Although it should be a lot closer if we hadn't had some of the unfortunate weather in the forecast that we did over the past couple weeks. An event that you're planning on participating in was supposed to take place this weekend, January 6th, but we're pushing it back to January 13th. Justin Meese and I, assistant superintendent that we had on the last episode, he and I had a conversation this past weekend, and we were discussing kind of his thoughts on moving forward with our intended plan and what a possible alternative could be. And after he looked at some of his models, after I looked at what I won't call models, but my different apps, we decided that we would go ahead and take our chances with pushing it back, with the idea that a few more guys would hopefully be able to attend than would have to drop out. And that's proved to be the case. We've been able to bump the field up to 12 right now. So we appreciate everybody who's been flexible, everybody who's been able to jump in, and we apologize to the folks that it affected and they had to drop out. But hopefully, you know, we can get the gang back together at the Overlook at Limestone Springs for a weekend that was similar to last year's. I was just listening to that podcast as you walked in, and it's laughter the whole time. So I would love to be able to get down there and recreate that.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing I remember from that podcast is laughing and the Roosties. But I honestly don't remember any of the individual Roosties themselves. So I have to go back and listen to it too, because I can't remember. Well, we had probably 15 of them, didn't we?
Yeah, I've been going through it, like I said, and I'm only at number 3 or 4. And I don't remember how many we had, but I think we had several
I remember arguing with D-Ball and beers half the time.
Yeah, and
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I just listened to that part. It's going to be a great time. And right now we have 3 guys scheduled to stay in the cottage, but I'm sure that some of the guys will hopefully, you know, that are from around the area will be able to play in the Friday practice round, even if they're not staying, and we'll be able to kind of create that atmosphere that night before and get that pod knocked out.
Yeah, I plan on going up there and staying the night. I'm looking forward to playing the golf course. I listened to the pod last week where you guys had Meese on, and boy, you love to hear that, the way they talked about the greens.
It's hard to believe, right?
Yeah, you love to hear that. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably bring multiple putters with me. We're deep in the sauce this winter with putters.
All right. Well, in the past, this has been a 2-man event, but you had the suggestion when we were kind of in between numbers to make it a 3-man event. We haven't really done anything with teams of 3 outside of derbies, and so this presented an opportunity to maybe do that, and ended up working out that way with teams of 12. Even though we could have done 2-man teams, might have been a little lopsided with some of the handicaps. So we're going with 3-man teams. You've seen the teams before. We kind of go through them here. What are your initial thoughts on this change and what you've seen so far?
Yeah. When we were kind of stuck on nine for a while. So we were trying to come up with the contingency plan, and yeah, three mans are fun. I've played a few in the past and we've never done one. So it was just kind of my thinking, well, that'll be an easy fix for the problem. But turns out we ended up getting to 12, but it still ends up working out better with the handicaps with three. There's going to be some lopsided teams with twos.
Yeah. It would have been tough to have some of our B's be A's.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that we're able to kind of square the field out a little bit. As I said, we've had two man teams in the past. We've also done just a straight scramble format in the past, if I'm not mistaken, right? Mm-hmm. So this year we're going to go 4-ball 18, 9-hole scramble. At least that's the plan. Of course, barring weather, we've already had to make adjustments based on weather so far. So teams, like I said, I won't mention the team handicaps directly with the teams. You know, that way we're not doxing anybody's handicaps if things change between now and then. But just for transparency's sake, as we set the teams, team handicaps at 16, 19, 19, and 26. So pretty even. The 26 has
my team. Thank you very much.
but would you really, you know, like I said, you've seen it. Would you have any opposition to that?
No, I mean, it's Matt's handicap, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's so.
And Matt is the player, especially when you get into the scramble or when you're stroking with all that, you know, in the 4-ball session, he's just as dangerous as anybody. And that just helps your team that much more.
Yeah. So which nine will be alt shot?
No alt shot.
Oh, there's not going to be any?
No alt shot. Yeah. It's just 18 holes of best ball and then. Or I hate to say best ball because people get confused with 4-ball versus scramble. That's why I just use the word 4-ball. It's not going to be a true 4-ball because we're going to have 3-man teams. Yeah. But you know what I mean when I say 4-ball.
Best score.
Yeah, best score and then 9 holes of just scramble. So no alt shot.
I thought if we did alt shot on the 9 holes, you could have sixes. But,
you know, we're not committed to anything, but I think I like doing
18 holes of, yep, you know, quote unquote 4-ball. That way everybody gets to play their own ball for 18 holes.
Exactly. That was kind of the idea there. But I'm definitely not opposed to making an event like that in the future. We've done that with, didn't we do that at the Barn Burner? Mm-hmm. Something similar.
In the derbies, we've done 3-man all shot.
No, we did, was it the first Barn Burner? We did 27 holes.
At the Extinction, it was A, B, and C's and we did all shot.
But one of the Barn Burners, we did 27 holes, and we did 9 holes scramble, 9 holes alt shot, 9 holes 4-ball.
Yeah, I think that was the first one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm definitely not opposed to a format like this, but in an event like this one specifically, just trying to make sure that everybody gets to play their ball for 18 holes and then have a little bit of fun at the end of it. So we'll announce the teams now. Like you said, we'll go ahead and, you know, spoiler alert, your team with the highest handicap, Mr. Britton, yourself, and D-ball rounding out the team. So although the highest handicap, you know, some would say this is, you know, cherry picking, putting you and D-ball together.
Well, some say we're the same golfer. So we'll probably birdie and bogey the same holes. So
I really encourage everybody to go back and listen to last year's Roosties episode. It's whatever the episode is, says featuring the boys. I think it's like episode 40. But yeah, I was just listening to that part where you guys are going back and forth because you guys had played the week before. You had to give him two. You guys shot the same score, so you won by two. Then a week later, he got one, or you got one, and he won by six, right? So you were asking for seven. So,
yeah,
really, really good stuff in between you guys going back to Limestone Springs, and hopefully you guys can just push each other that much more.
Yeah, I think we had gone to Fighting Joe, and I had beat him by two. And so he wanted to get an additional shot when we went to Limestone Springs. But then the practice round day before, he had beat me by seven. And I was like, well, how does that work? Are we doing live adjustments here? So do I get eight now? I don't understand his logic.
Well, the guy that you won with last year that we had on the podcast last week, kind of maybe a point of contention or a storyline that you guys won't be able to attempt to repeat maybe a good thing that you guys can just walk and say, hey, we won two man. It's a three man now. You can't come get us. But Justin Meese, Josh Appleton, and Brandon Burris, who, you know, that's another guy that a lot of people would not like to see with you, Brandon Burris, playing with another Springfield guy, though, and Josh Appleton, and getting that home field advantage or home field knowledge that you got last year with Justin Meese. This is a big, big team to watch.
Yeah, Burris has never played there, and he won't. I don't believe he's coming to the practice round. I think he texted me today. We were going to come up and play in the practice round, but I think he's going to come up Saturday morning. So he'll be fresh on the golf course. But he'll have Meese. So Meese helped me out a lot last year. But
yeah, especially around the greens. And if the greens are, I mean, there's no reason to not believe what Meese was saying. It's just, it's crazy to think that they can be even better.
Yeah, and Burris executes his shots a little bit better than me. So,
a team that has another guy that can execute some golf shots, we've seen it done time and time again, is Josh Hollingsworth, playing with a newcomer, Frank McClellan, who has some experience coming off of Santa Slam, playing in back-to-back events now, with Joseph M. Sand, another Bama boy. So an all-Bama team. What do you think about these guys?
We got the new guy with two NIT qualifiers. Well, I guess Josh is not going to be – neither one of them qualified for next year, though, did they?
No, not quite.
Well, two previous year NIT qualifiers.
Exactly. Two NIT veterans.
Yeah. So they've been around the block. It's a good group to have, especially if you're a newcomer.
I think Frank is probably set up really well in this format with these two guys.
And playing with Josh is – kind of like playing with Burris. There's not a lot of stress on you. Yeah. You know, you don't have to grind it out too bad.
And he's a lot of fun himself. So hopefully a lot of good vibes in that group and they can have a good time together. But then it's rounding out the field, Brian Turley, Alex Kreider, and Ryan Rogers.
I know I've talked with Roger in the Discord. What other events has he been to? You know, off the top of your head.
I do not
know. I don't recall playing with him. I know. I mean, I can recall talking with them in the Discord. I just don't recall playing with him.
I want to say the Yellow Hammer, but I think I'm wrong there. But it was definitely, yeah, I don't remember. I remember I'm like 99.9% sure I've shook that man's hand. And I'm like, I can see everything about him. I just don't remember where it was. So apologies to Ryan, but we look forward to seeing your face and shaking your hand again. And you have a really strong couple of guys with you. Turley, we've talked about it in the past. He doesn't play enough to play up to his handicap. And this time of year, though, nobody really does. So maybe that kind of helps him out. But then Kreider, he's working on something. He's got a new feel. Oh, so, he's as dangerous as anybody if he has it that day.
He cracks me up. He came and played the game the other day, and I put him in the C line. I was like, because I was telling Peppy, I was like, he asked, he's like, well, what's Kreider normally shooting? I was like, he could be a B, but I was like, he doesn't play in the game much, so just make him a C. There's not a lot of pressure on him. A little bit of a struggle that day. He shot like 87, but even I was laughing on when I listened to the pod from last week because he said those words on the first tee. I've been working on a feel. I was like, oh man, back to the drawing board for Kreider.
I wish he would stop working on a feel and just play golf, man. You know, like Unknown Golf, just play golf and leave the rest of the app. Just play golf and leave the score out to the golf gods.
And Kreider, sometimes you just got to be an athlete, man.
Yeah. And Kreider is an athlete. He's really good at just making a good move with the golf ball. He just gets him beside, in between his ears and can't get out.
I feel like if he ever, like even when he goes out, let's say he plays great, shoots, 72 or 73, I bet.
No, there's all a part of him that wants to change something.
I know. I bet all the money in my bank account that he is on the range the next day working on something else.
That was good, but if I did this, it would have been even better. I lost a couple 3 yards this way, But now we're getting too far into a place where we're just laying into him. And he doesn't deserve that. Great guy. I've been a great supporter of the club. And we just want to see the best out of him. You know, he's one of those guys, like we have so many in the club that have that ability, and we just want to see them take that next step. That's why we're so hard on some of these guys. Like, you know, him and Clay going back and forth was funny because we've said the same thing about Clay being such a great athlete. That man, just, you talked about Tanner being the most flexible hips in the club and Clay being the least flexible, and then being in a picture together. I mean, yeah, it's just, we all want to see each other do as best as we can.
Yeah. Doesn't Dodie always say he has to get his hips activated before he starts swinging well?
I've told him that. I don't know if he has subscribed to the theory entirely, but we're working on it. But yeah, we're excited for the Overlook. We're looking forward to having everybody down there. Obviously, we'll keep everybody abreast of any changes that have to be made based on weather. But do your dances, whatever you need to do. Pray to the weather gods that we, you know, can actually fulfill this event and kick 2024, the calendar year, off with a bang. But regardless, 2024 is going to be a big year for the High Cotton Club. And so we want to talk about some of the events coming throughout the spring. Obviously, our season runs August through July. And so our spring season is January through July. We'll kick off our 2025 season, which is crazy to think about, starting in August of next year. But until then, we'll run through some of these events like the Barn Burner, which we talked about earlier. You said it was one of your favorite events of the year. Mine as well, mostly because of that, just, you know, connection that I have to the golf course. Haven't really gotten to enjoy that event as a competitor like I would like to. But hopefully I'll be healed up, feeling better, ready to go for this year's. But that event is going to be February 3rd. Registration is live right now. That event, Stableford quota style event over 18 holes. But the Derby is really the – there is no greater climax to an HCC event outside of the Extinction than that Derby. Would you disagree?
Oh, no, for sure. Last year was a blast. We did the Hickories last year. Do we know what the format's going to be for the Derby this year?
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and announce it. I've kind of tried to keep it close to chest, but we'll make it a combination of what we've done in the past. So the first year we did the floating green. I'm not building a floating green again, but to your idea of turning a kiddie pool upside down, throw or whatever, we're going to throw it out there. If you can hit it into it with a hickory wedge like we did last year, and then we'll, you know, make that a playoff style, bracket style, like we did the first year. So a combination of everything for year three.
Nice. I like that. I was just thinking out loud, but you put a lot of work into that green. We appreciate it.
Yep. We tried.
We could, I think for what we needed, we can just throw a little kiddie pool out there.
Yeah.
We don't need you scuba duck, putting your scuba gear on and getting in a canoe and trying to wrestle a green.
Yeah, it is.
Makeshift green.
It is what it is. But hey, it worked. It was a good time. Thinking back on it, that floating green has cost me way more pain, suffering, and damage than it was worth. It's the reason that I may not be able to play this year after kind of weakening my ribs at the float a couple years ago. So, looking forward to being rid of that and just throwing it out there, obviously attaching it to some sort of line. We'll figure that stuff out and get it out there and have a great time with that. Following that event is going to be the Farmers Cup on March 2nd. This is an event that is already full. So if you have not already registered when we announced that event in 2023, I'm sorry. We are in the process of going through by the order of registration. This was a first come, first serve event for the actual team. For those who don't make the team, you're still able to come play, participate. You'll be playing golf and supporting the High Cotton Club. You won't be participating in the event itself outside of your support. So we're going through getting everybody marked off for that. The Crossroads Co-op has fielded a team of 12. So we will be fielding a team of 12 to go against theirs over 18 holes, where every hole is going to be worth a point again, and should be very exciting stuff.
Yep, and it's going to be at Park Mammoth.
At Park Mammoth, yes, sir.
Nice. I'm kind of bummed that I'm going to be out of town for that. I really liked it last year. The guys I played with from co-op, we had a really good time. It was me and JT and the two guys from the co-op. But have you seen the list of their players yet? Any
Doesn't matter.
Or any of the guys from last year?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. The Mother Clucker will be following the Farmers Cup. And just to conclude the Farmers Cup, High Cotton Club members who will be participating will be receiving a hoodie from that. So that's why we're pressing to make sure that we get everybody paid up as quickly as possible. So if Clay has reached out to you, please make sure that you're getting back with him and we're getting all that squared away as quickly as possible. The Mother Clucker, following that, like I mentioned, March 15th through 17th, we talked about trying to fill this field as quickly as possible. We've talked about it at length in the past about why this is such a great event. And really, yeah, just continue to encourage people to try to find a partner and get involved. How close are you to fulfilling that task?
Well, my original guy first was signed up, or he was good to go, and then realized it was going to be on spring break of when his kids were going to be. So they're going to be at the beach. So I don't know. I may have to go to the refuge.
I've heard you say that on the pod before. It's time to do it. We got to pull the trigger.
I actually shot Cody a message to see, but I haven't heard anything from him. I didn't think he would probably respond to that.
I'm opening registration to the refuge like probably now. So we need to, you know, High Cotton Club guys need to take advantage and quickly. So make sure that you're doing that. I would hate to miss you there like we did the first time. I know we had you at the Little Clucker, but no more Little Clucker. You know, just this is it. This is the chance to go to Mossy Oak and Old Waverly.
Oh yeah, I loved Mossy Oak. That just the cottages were sick too. Like, yes. It's perfect setup.
Yes, and hopefully if we can fill the field, having three of those side by side, that would just we kind of take over the place. Would be fantastic. The Salute will follow that on April 10th. So make sure that you look out for what will be the third edition of the Salute. Registration will open sometime in February. I think it's like February 12th. But that's just a par 3-ish contest. There's the one par 4 at the Vinnie Links. But back at the Vinnie Links, like I said, for the third time on Masters Wednesday, it's our de facto nod, salute, whatever you want to call it, to the Masters par 3 contest as we start the High Cotton Classic that weekend. So the Classic Calcutta kickoff party will be at the Rudder on April 13th, with play beginning April 14th on that Sunday.
Speaking of the Rudder, have you talked to Patton any? Are they under construction now? Or
I have talked to Patton. I talked to Patton during that. Didn't really talk to him at much length. And I've talked to him over the past couple of days about the club stuff. Haven't tried to bother him with it because I don't, you know, I hate to, it's a double-edged sword, right? Or a catch-22, because I hate to bother somebody, but then I also hate to reach out about club stuff when I haven't bothered him. But I think that he knows and everybody knows our hearts and prayers are with him, and I'm readily available and happy to help in any way that we can. But yeah, our thoughts are definitely with Rudder. And so as we encourage people to, you know, as we encourage everybody to have their thoughts and prayers remain with the Rudder, we encourage you as well to follow them on social media at the Rudder AHM on Facebook, stuff like that. And just stay tuned. Not really sure what the process is right now, but they've been a great supporter of us. We want to make sure that everybody continues to support them.
Yeah, that was just the main reason I was asking. I was just genuinely concerned how things were going.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's talking about it on the pod with Kreider and Meese, you know, it's just very unfortunate that all that stuff happened, and still very saddened by it. And I'm looking forward to everybody being able to get back on their feet and back to where they want to be. But on a happier note, we will be kicking off the Classic, like I said, and this is the 7th edition. Going to be getting gifts starting to roll in pretty soon. What are you most excited about or looking forward to about this opportunity in this Classic?
Winning.
Thank you. That's all I wanted and all I expected. Following that is the Peachtrees Major, the Stanconia Classic. Obviously not a High Cotton Club event, but one that we traveled well to last year. Mr. Josh Hollingsworth won the Gross Division. So I expect some travel to be had this year by the High Cotton Club to participate in that event once again. So not really sure how many of our guys will be there, but that will be May 3rd and 4th. So that's a date that we avoided. So the Rodeo at the Ridge will be our next event on May 18th. That will be a High Cotton Club versus Cherokee Ridge at Cherokee Ridge event. So truly a little bit of a Goliath versus David situation where we're going, you know, to their home turf. They're big and bad. They got all these numbers of members, all this stuff, state champions, all this stuff. That's fine. We're the little guys. We'll come in to your home turf with some slingshots, some five woods with three wood shafts in them, and make things happen.
Yeah, it's all, I mean, it's all fun and games until we actually get to see the golf course. Like that, there was a huge home field advantage at that place. I mean, every tee shot was pretty much blind. And I mean, I hit a ton of tee shots that even like using the yardage book, I was like, okay, well, I got to lay back a little bit. And it probably landed fine, but the yardage book doesn't show you that it careens 40 yards down a cliff, you know, and the ball rolls 60 yards. So, I mean, you had to put yourself in a great position and be very strategic off the tee there. And it's hard to do when you never played it before.
Yeah, this is taking place of the education from last year where we battled Tennessee versus Alabama, the paddle that I have here in front of me. Obviously, not doing that event this year and challenging ourselves even further than competing against our own guys, I think, in traveling to this place to play against their own members as we continue to try to grow bigger, better, all those things. Challenging ourselves in this way, I think, is a, you know, there's a lot of guys who will schedule, you know, Central Michigan Tech, you know, the second week of September. No. It's, you know, the week before the SEC championship, and we're scheduling an out-of-conference Michigan.
No tune-up game. I like that place. That golf course is pretty sick, though.
I do, too.
And everybody was really nice there.
I do, too. And it's kind of poetic. I really didn't mean to talk about an event in Alabama and then say we're scheduling an out-of-conference Michigan when Michigan just
beat Alabama.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that, and I really apologize.
Too soon. It's too soon.
The little delay that everybody heard was me like, oh, shit. I was like, that math did not math.
Has anybody done a welfare check on D-ball?
Yeah, I heard from him. Still, it wasn't a well check. It was just a fair check.
They got manhandled, D-ball.
Anyways, following the rodeo at the Ridge will be the extinction on June 7th and 8th. That event is another event that's already full, but if you're not already in the field, make sure that you join the wait list. If you are in the field, we'll be getting payments processing pretty shortly, so stay tuned for that. That, of course, preluding the showdown, which we're planning on hosting at the Legacy for the third year in a row. That will be June 29th is the plan right now. And that will be the final qualifier for the Farmers Market, which is July 27th through 28th, once again at Park Mammoth. So three events coming up at Park Mammoth between now and July. So we're really looking forward and appreciate them adding what they have to the landscape that we live in.
Yep. Glad to see Showdown going back to Legacy too. I've played that place a couple of times.
We talked about it, and there's been almost calls for it to move. And every time that there's calls for it to move, I have an honest and earnest conversation with those people who call for it. Where would you rather see it? Tell me where in Middle Tennessee that we can, because I truly do believe, because we are technically the Nashville Roost, that it needs to be a Middle Tennessee-based event. The easiest commute for everybody from all extremities of the High Cotton Club. And so with that being said, where in Middle Tennessee do you host it other than the Legacy? 12 Stones is so much home course advantage, right? Like it is favoring whoever's played that golf course the most.
Yeah. And I think you're going to be paying more for a crappier golf course that may only be 15 minutes closer to, you know, anybody driving from South Nashville.
Well, I don't think it's the distance that people are complaining about driving from South Nashville. I think it is the home course advantage for the contingent of Legacy guys that we have. But if you look at the past, you know, Beers has fared really, really well in this. D-Ball has fared well in this. Neither one of those guys have a bunch of experience at the Legacy. You have Gervais, who played really well last year without a ton of experience at the Legacy. Sure, you have the guys like Appleton, who played well in the 18, but he didn't make it through in the Derby and in the playoff. But then, of course, you do have the guys like yourself. But you're going to do that just about anywhere you go. And being at the Legacy, you know, with the pressure being different than your typical Sunday game or weekday game, I think that kind of offsets it enough as it is.
Yeah, Charlie loves the Legacy, too. He can't wait to go back.
Yeah, we don't have to dive too far into that. I think there's some scar tissue, but he continues to say that he figures it out, and then maybe something comes back, but I have no doubt that he'll figure it out between now and then and give it a run for his money. But another way to qualify for the farmer's market at the end of the year, other than the showdown, is the jackpot race. And although winners here, we've had some jackpots going on, some points being exchanged. You have taken the lead with 475 points. Despite me being on the IR, I'm still in second place with 450 points. D-Ball in third place with 355. Josh in fourth with 175. And right there, 1, 2, 3, 4, that was your 2023 regional and NIT team, or regional and Roots Club Championship team, who made the trip to the NIT. I think that me saying that is just to say, the more golf you play, like we played a bunch of golf. If you want to get jackpot points, you got to play a bunch of golf. You got to go all in with your points. And obviously, if you want to climb the leaderboard, go all in, can't lose.
Yeah. I mean, it's, let's see. And D-Ball won the points at the NIT, right? And then, which, I mean, that, like Josh, D-Ball, me and you, I mean, we travel a lot.
Yep.
You know, I probably played over 50 rounds of golf last year that were strictly due to Roost stuff, probably.
100%. I wouldn't disagree with that number at all. And I'd say that's a modest number for you, especially. So then when we get past that top four, it's Beers, who's been on to the Roost Club Championship before. It's Turley, who has that on his bucket list for this year. Beers at 120, Turley at 75. Both of those guys, they're within striking distance, obviously, of Josh. They're a good ways back from third place. But when we get down to that final jackpot, all you got to do is sneak in the fourth. Mm-hmm. If you can sneak in the fourth, you're fine. And we still have a long ways to go before the end of the jackpot season come May.
Yeah, it's still early. And I really like the way we did it last year, the finals, like the format. It's just you have to have it so much to keep up with. Like Beers did an amazing job. I would have never been able to keep up with that. Like you honestly have to have a notepad and someone to just strictly keep up with everyone's bets.
Well, another guy who is licking his chops for that opportunity to get to that final hand is Lane Rock and Sock. He's at 55 points right now. B-Stew right behind him at 45. Salty at 40. Will Robinson down to 35. Walt at 30 and JT at 20. Kreider and Dylan both blacked out. Down to zero again. So that is, you know, that's it right now. You know, there's plenty of opportunity to get up to that 175 to catch Josh to get into fourth. And then, you know, I'm not playing right now. You have 475. One of these guys who has 7,500 can come and take it from you. You know, a lot can happen between now and May.
Yeah, I did. And there's different ways to do it too. I mean, I know I play in a lot of jackpot stuff, but it's, you can get right back in it really easy by just showing up to an event and playing well at an event, because we pull our points every time. And that's how you make up a lot of room, is winning, playing well in one of those events.
100%. I mean, D-Ball and myself, the Gallup was a great example of that, right? Yeah, no, we didn't do that. I wanted to, but we didn't do it. I wanted to pull everybody's points that they won for their match.
Yeah, we just
into
did
the playoff.
Up.
Yeah, I wanted to pull your winnings. Just go ahead right back in. But we did not. But still, like you said, you show up to an event. That's one way you're not guaranteed to get 10 points, but you're getting 10 points for showing up to throw into a pool almost all the time and have the chance to win a big chunk back, more than if you just went out and played with one other guy and you can win 20 points. So all that to say, we went through the spring schedule. We talked about jackpots. Sign up for events, and that's your best way to get involved, to kind of make that jump from the Discord or the Refuge or whatever social media platform that you joined us from, and make that jump to real life and get involved.
Yep. I was going to ask you before we move on to the next topic. You got any New Year's resolutions for? We're on January 3rd right now.
Yeah, all my New Year's resolutions have already been failed.
Just
I've already failed on all of them. So
I think kind of in a way I have mine too.
Like I was feeding the animals this morning, just cussing myself because I had already failed. I've already failed.
Yeah, I said this year I wanted to drink more water and like less alcohol, like outside the golf course. Yesterday, just got hammered.
Hey man,
yeah. It's January 2nd.
What was yesterday?
It was just
a Tuesday.
Yeah, just Tuesday.
Oh man, you gotta love it. I also did want to
try and walk more this year. I already walked around this year.
Good for you.
Well, technically, I think it was the 31st, but still.
Yeah, well, counts. You know, we'll give you a little grace period. I can appreciate that. I will not have that same.
I guess it's not an easy walk.
It is not. Not at all. It's a miserable walk.
Like coming up 17 and 18, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's still like even the front, there's a bunch of walks in between holes that you just don't want to. They're not the most convenient. I mean, you look at 2 to 3. Across the road on 4 to 5, right? You got to go down all the hill to the par 3, then back up the hill, and then back to 7, and then up to 8, and then over to 9. I mean, yeah, it's just a crappy golf course walk.
It was 7 miles.
Good for you.
18 holes.
On your back?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Well, Clay asks, are there any new event formats coming this year? We talked about, obviously, a bunch of the events. We didn't go into a ton of detail with the event formats. I would say, you know, we're going 3-man for the Overlook. That's kind of new.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think we've done a lot, man.
Yeah. And sometimes the formats are kind of dictated by like turnout too. Like we could throw in some different type formats, but you'd almost have to like guarantee we get a certain amount to make them work. And we just never know how many we're going to have. So, it's always easier to do either individual like points and tilt and, you know, at the most like 2-mans because it's pretty easy to get multiples of 2. So,
right. He also asks, what is your favorite club in the bag right now? We know it's not your putter.
You know, I don't know if it's my favorite one in the bag, but it's making its way there. I got a new 2-iron.
Okay.
It's like I've always been team hybrid.
Okay.
And I hit my hybrid really well, but I was like, we'll tinker with it this winter. And I got a P790 2-iron with a hazardous shaft in it.
Really like it. We like that.
I was worried I wouldn't be able to like launch it off the ground because the sort of thicker bottom, but
you're fine.
Fine. Now, we get into July and it's hard. Bermuda may not like it as much, but like trying to hit it off the ground.
I don't know. I think that everything that I've heard is if you can hit it when it's wet, you should be able to hit it when it's dry, right?
During the winter time
when people put the hybrids back into play?
Yeah, typically, but I feel like hitting it off the ground is easier when it's softer than when it's hard, like to get it up in the air.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Well, Josh has a question that I don't think we want to answer right now, but it's a good segue. Who is HCC Player of the Year? I think we leave it for the Roosties.
Yeah, I think that's got to be a Roostie.
There's several strong contenders this year. And it was when he asked this question that I went back and started listening to last year's, and I was hoping to get to a point where I found out who we voted.
I know my vote.
I think I remember who it was last year, but I don't want to say until I know for sure.
I don't know. Do we have a player of the year last year? We didn't do that, I don't think.
I think we did at some
point. We did a moment of the year and a shot of the year.
At some point, maybe at the end of the season, we did a player of the year.
Oh, okay.
And I think I know who that was. I think I got that because I won the classic.
Yeah, and you came in second at the NIT too.
Yeah. So that was mine last year.
Yeah.
So it'll be somebody new this year.
Yeah.
Definitely not deserve it again this year because we
have I'm not voting for you.
Yeah, we have some really, really strong contenders. And you would be one of those. So
yeah, I know who I would vote for.
Do you want to go ahead and you know?
No, I don't. I don't want to use the airwaves to like put a campaign for him out there. So we'll just let it happen naturally.
Okay. Well, we'll have several different roosties. We're going to be sending out a form through Discord and through probably Unknown Golf as well, that everybody can vote and give some feedback on who they think should win these individual roosties, and then as well as nominate some roosties that they may want to see awarded. We'll try to get to an even number and, you know, get through those as quickly as possible. I'm sure it won't be as chaotic as last year, but hopefully we'll be able to bottle up some of that chaos and use it again this year. But some of the awards that people can look forward to: the John Stewart Award for the best head of hair, the Saucer for who is lost in the sauce, the FBR Award, which if you know, you know, the Baby Wawa Award, and much, much more.
Yeah, I remember the Chatty Cathy Award. Clay Doty won last year. I got a new vote for that this year.
Okay.
I know who I'm going to vote for on that one.
All right. We like it. So, yeah, please stay tuned for that. We'll try to get that sent out probably before the podcast even goes up. So stay tuned. But without any further ado, let's get into some life advice, too.
Yeah. So mine, it kind of goes back to resolutions and sort of, you know, the beginning of the year, you always want to try your best to. The whole notion of resolutions is to set goals kind of for yourself for the year. So Denzel Washington said, dreams without goals are just dreams, and ultimately they'll fuel disappointment. So if you've got dreams, it's I love to just compartmentalize down to goals and just, you know, like we say, 1% every day, just accomplish one thing every time and to work towards your dream. So
that's good stuff. Good stuff. I would say pretty simple. If you're going through hell, keep on going. You know, maybe you'll get through it before the devil even knows you're there. Rodney Atkins taught me that when I was a very young child, and felt appropriate today. So if you're going through hell, just keep on going.
You get kicked in the teeth by a horse, just spit the teeth out and smile back.
Knock on wood. That sounds like a bad day. Bad day. Well, hopefully everybody had a good day in part to listening to this episode of Dialed In, a podcast by the High Cotton Club. For John Stewart, I'm Connor Hendrickson. Thanking you for tuning in, and we hope to see you in an event soon. Without any further ado, roll that outro.
Rich, some guys like it quiet. Some guys like it loud. This is...
Yeah, I had a gator knee that looked like I needed some exercise. I don't know.
Conditions now that he has to play the shot. Test anyone.
Straight up. Yeah, look at this, Peter. Look at this shot. Look at this. Might go in. Might go in. It is in.
Oh, he's running after. He ran after. He got there before the ball did.
I don't believe it.
How about that? I've never seen him do that.
You knew he would.
They've come a long way together, Jim, those two. It's a great story.